Okay, so Hamish, what's the T-shirt?
EDAF.
EDAF?
DGAF.
Oh, right. Very good, very good. By the way, we're recording.
That's why I'm saying the sorry should just come off. It's not really necessary. Yeah.
So,
Hamish, I may have said this before, but you're starting to look like Santa Claus in the Raymond Briggs Santa Claus before, like when he's like...
I don't know. I mean, I'm aware of it, but I don't know.
Is that the animated Santa Claus?
Well, there was a book first. It was like and then a cartoon.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I never really got on with that. I always found it just a bit old-timey. No, Raymond Briggs stuff,
it's fucking depressing.
It is a bit. What's the word I'm thinking of? Like, yeah.
Like, especially for a kids thing. Like, I think kids things shouldn't always be bright and happy and blah blah blah. But it's just sort of like grimy.
Yeah. There's this sadness to it that I don't.
Yeah.
I don't get that away from my Christmas.
You don't get that from the Hungry Caterpillar.
Mm. So it's been a while since we actually watched Crank.
Yes.
A few days. Yeah. And you gave it, because this is what started the conversation, on your...
you were taken aback by my high rating.
I was. So yours... Right, I'm just going to find yours by going to... Oh, yeah. Also, did you check out my bash script for generating it? I've updated it a little bit now.
I did. Lovely.
I got rid of Pandoc. Pandoc is no longer needed to change that.
What is Pandoc? I was nodding and smiling politely when you posted that script, really. For some reason, my brain can't take in things like said and doc. I just don't...
Have you seen some of the said stuff that Drew's done? Like, that makes anyone's head spin.
I don't understand that. Like, 10 minutes after writing it, you look back at it, and I'm like, I don't know what that does. But it works.
So...
Pandoc converts between different... Sorry, you were going to...
No, you go ahead. Format.
Like it can convert like Markdown to HTML and Office documents into text files and stuff like that. It converts between different file formats.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
And it's all done on the command line, so you can bake it into scripts and everything. So it's not the smallest of dependencies, though, is it? I mean, it depends how small you want to get.
I mean, yeah, I think I said the other day, like, I install the bin version of it from the AUR, so I don't have to pull all of its Haskell dependencies, because it's written in Haskell.
It is a Haskell, and it is a hassle. The Haskell is a hassle.
I'm getting really fed up of languages which also have a massive framework API coming with them and stuff, you know?
No, I mean, at least Haskell doesn't do what every other language does now, which is have their own little package manager.
Like, oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
I mean, they're fine existing for Mac and Windows, I guess. But we have package managers. Don't use both. Like, just package those things up in our. Well, I guess don't. JavaScript has billions of packages that are all horrible.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah. I mean, I used to like Python, and then they stopped making it. It stopped being just a nice scripting language and turned into some sort of weird, exploded. Multi-requirement, multi-dependency, with its own fucking package manager.
That's what drove me back to Bash. It's like, why are you installing libraries to do all these things for a specific language?
And the system already does them.
You have command line tools, that already do it. Yeah, built in. Yeah.
So anyway, I it was really more of an exercise, and maybe to speed up the generating, as if I needed to shave those 1 second off the off it. It was really more.
I love the way yours look.
The
layout of it is lovely.
The layout's quite nice. To be honest, I did initially attempt it as a practice in learning said commands, but then I just realised that the said commands I needed to do the job were actually very simple. So if you look at the script, it's just replace at the beginning of every line, you put in the table cells. In between every delimiter, you put in end cell, new cell. And then at the end of every row, end cell, end row. It's, you know.
Yeah, I would like a version of yours that is by date as well.
Oh, okay.
Just nice to know. Apart from anything, like when I check your list, because you've added a lot of stuff lately. This is the initial one where you're just adding
CSV
everything.
Now as well.
It'd be nice if I could like look at it and go, oh, he's watched, you know, X. Like, okay.
Okay, I'm sure I could arrange that. So you would, because sometimes I think it could be fun to do it In order of year that I've in order of watching, in order of rating,
in order of rating, I think, yeah,
yeah. And then I could do it in order of the year of the movie, so you could like watch my movie, you know, movies through time.
I think that's less meaningful.
I guess I don't know what is meaningful, but you think it's meaningful that the order that I've reviewed them.
Well, just like I say, because because you added a lot of stuff, I don't know what's changed, and if you add something tomorrow. I don't know what. If you had like one movie, I don't know. I'd have to have a perfect movie. Like, whereas if it appears at the top on the dating one, I'm like, oh, Chris has watched XYZ.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, that's something to add. Shouldn't be too much of a bother.
That should be very easy.
But yeah. I really enjoyed the code that I do. I've actually come to learn that I don't actually care to put a lot of these little scripts up on Codeberg. Because I always find that I just, like, I work on it, little dribs and drabs, and then syncing it, every time I've done some stuff. to be honest, backing it up in my normal way, if it's just code that I'm using, because no one, the script...
I mean, I only stick it on...
ZShell's got a lot of built-in stuff from that.
Oh, okay.
I only stick it on Git to back it up. The reason isn't to share it. The primary reason is to back it up. Sharing it is just a... side effect.
Yeah. Well, if anyone wants any of my code, they're more than welcome to ask for it. Like, but it's all simple stuff. It's stuff you can do at home.
That's how free software used to be done. It's like, if you want the code, email me.
Yeah. Because I do the code, everything for this, my movie rating thing, it's directly on the server on the website. So I just found it easier rather than syncing stuff over and da 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 da. And your suggestion, I can just like SSH into Termux on my phone and then add in a new rating. I did a little script. It's all in that script, you know, with the arguments. You just do movie add and then pop in the movie. There you go. And if I get it wrong, movie del takes off the last line. That's like basically an undo function, I guess. That's the only way I could think of doing it with any kind of like neatness to it. And then I run it on the server. It's in my home folder on the server. And then I just run it directly on the server. And then it doesn't have to sync anything or do anything. And it's right there. Website's uploaded, updated immediately. You know?
Yep. I run it locally, but just now it's just part of the script. It just rsyncs the resulting HTML to the server, but running on the it makes no end, really.
Well, the server, the freebooter server, I think has snapshot backups. So it's just, I don't know, it's just easy, it's backed up, it's there when, you know, working in the cloud, man, is the future. anyway, that aside, Crank. What did you give that? Right, I went onto my website to actually get a link to your website.
My memory is 8.
I think you'd given it a 10, and that's why we were.
No.
Oh, he gave it. Okay. He gave Crank a 7, and he gave Crank High Voltage, the sequel, which we also watched, an 8.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I could have sworn that you had given them a 10.
He's given some mad ones 10s, I think.
Yeah, but no, did you just? Is that a recent change?
No.
I could have sworn in watching back the last video that we mentioned you'd given Crank a 10, and that's because Chris lists off some ones you've got a 10 on, and I'm sure Crank was in there, and then that was what led to us. Maybe I'm misremembering. I mean, I've.
And what did I give Crank? I gave Crank.
I'm the only one who's not writing scripts and rating things. I'm letting everybody down. More than normal.
So I gave Crank a 7, but I gave Crank High Voltage a 3. What would you?
Well, I was just going to say I think there's a bit of an elephant in the room with both films, most particularly the first one. But I don't want to bring that up. Just let it sit there for a while. Anyway, I'd say the first one. 5.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Second one, a bit of 3.
Okay. All right.
There's a lot of good things, but there's some things that really spoil it for me.
Is it the racism?
The racism was kind of tongue in cheek and didn't really.
If it's not the racism, I'm curious as to what it is.
The sexual assault scene?
Him and his wife? Or him and his girlfriend?
Yeah.
There's a lot of physical violence
involved. It's not just, oh, come on, baby. It's physical violence involved in that whole scene.
Yeah.
You're finding it funny. Yeah. I didn't find it funny. I found it quite
No. I remember enjoying these. Yeah, I remember enjoying these films. And then when I rewatched it, that bit did actually stand out to me, as I didn't remember that being so... I mean, this language is going to be dodgy, so I'm tagging this knowing that what I'm about to say is going to... It becomes consensual.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Exactly. Physically coerced until she says yes was how it seemed all the way through.
Yeah, but you...
I think the point is that you're meant to think, oh, well, they love each other and blah, 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 and she, especially with the second film backing that up. But
yeah,
honestly, that completely derailed the film for me. Absolutely derailed the film for me and made the second half of it harder to watch. I mean,
that is something that in terms of the media has changed quite rapidly.
Mm.
Like in 80s films, it was like, put not okay as the audience thought it was bad, but you know, all lads being last night. But in 80s films, it was perfectly okay to get somebody drunk so you could sleep. Right, for example.
Well, it wasn't okay, but I know what you're saying.
It was seen as, you know, that was the cultural context at the time. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at the behavior of Bond, you know, it's very much like that. It's like
awful. Yeah.
But I think because I like what's his name? I forgot his name already.
Jason Statham.
I think because I like Jason Statham a lot, and I've seen him in a lot of things more recently. I don't think he would have done something like that. Even a few years after that film, I don't think he would have done something like that scene.
I think if that film was made now, I think some of the racial stuff would be toned down a little bit.
Like I say, it is
tongue-in-cheek.
But it was tongue-in-cheek and it was on both sides as well.
It's doled out equally, yeah. But the sexual, I think they would change. I think that just reads different today. This doesn't excuse it, but it reads different today than how it read then.
It was the 90s that film was made. Lads and Ladettes, and this Lads and Ladettes nonsense was the start of the rise of, you know, the manosphere, we can't do anything anymore. It's, you know, there's a very I can see a line going right back into all that, where suddenly people like the fucking, what's his name, from Oasis, you know, can start being homophobic and misogynist and everything in public again because he's the lead singer of Oasis, you know? And he's still exactly always, like that now.
Always a prick, though.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't be.
But yeah, I think you're supposed to read it as that's what their relationship is like.
I agree with you. The fact that he does that to her in a public place, and nobody steps in to help her as well. That was the other thing. But then, it's okay. She says yes, and eventually they have a shag outside, and it's all very, ha ha ha, isn't this amazing?
That does come into something that I want to say about the film in general. But, what was I going to say? Because I was actually looking forward to that bit, because I remember the bit where they fuck in public in Chinatown, and it was, you know, I remember it being, like, hilarious. Because that part of it is hilarious when she's into it.
It would be, yeah.
It's hilarious.
If it wasn't preceded by sexual assault.
Yeah. And I didn't remember that part, which means...
Well, that's it. That's supposed to show, doesn't it? How we remember and perceive things. The second film has a similar bit. Again, I suppose I was waiting for something bad in the second one after the first one. And it was the bit where, you know, Dwight Yoakam's character, the doctor. It's when he says when his assistant, who's we're shown to be completely lazy and inept, but also apparently his lover. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. Yeah. But he asks her to do something, and she's like, and his response is, "Do I need to strangle a bitch or something like that?" And I was like, again,
I think that goes back to the tongue-in-cheek.
They were trying to, but it didn't sit like that for me anymore.
That's pimp
Sorry, Drew,
talk.
What did you say about a talk to me?
No, it's pimp talk. That's exaggerated pimp talk.
Yeah. Like, I understood what they were trying to do, but
not that pimp talk is okay, but I think that puts it in the same ballpark as the tongue-in-cheek racism and so on, I think.
But it did feel at times, especially in the high voltage, that they were just pushing the envelope as far as they could go with it.
That's what I love about it, yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the first film is, like, it's a refined action movie, right? So, like, it's all action, no plot, right?
Hang on. Never expected the words word refined to be used in relation to.
But it kind of
it is refined in a different way. It is refined in a distilled. Like
yeah. Where, like, okay, so, you know, British guy, Chev Chelios.
I wonder if that name means anything.
Ridiculous name.
He gets poisoned with this thing, so he has to keep his adrenaline levels up in order to stay alive.
Chinese shit.
They never explain it at any point. It's just Chinese.
Yeah. And then chaos ensues, right? And it's it's crazy action, all that kind of stuff, right?
Can I just say, I was going to say something to contextualize our view of both films. So the first film did quite well. It was like, so I'm just using Rotten Tomatoes as a thermometer, not as a whatever. But so Rotten Tomatoes, first one, critics 62%, audience 71%. So well-liked. The second one, critics 64%, so about the same, audience 49%. So the audience really fell off for the second one. I think they pushed it. I think the first one was still a little bit grounded. They weren't pushing things as far as they could push them. And then the second, because the first one was successful, the second one, they were like, fuck it, we can push things as far as we like. And for some people, they pushed it too far.
I think, to me, the second one was just all noise.
Yeah, like there wasn't a lot of the arty bits. I mean, there was a lot of arty stuff in that film, as in the first film. There was really cool bits when he's talking to somebody on the phone. They're like projected onto a wall as he's walking by and things like that. Talking so instead of that 70s split screen thing like we've got going on here, you were getting like a projection of who he's talking to on the phone on the wall and things like that. And that, there was some really cool stuff in it. And like I say, up until that point in the film, I was thinking this is a, you know, this is an action film.
I mean, even if you hate the film, there's some inventive filmmaking in there for sure. And they're using. One thing I think is interesting, they're using, so it's early 2000s when digital cameras were starting to be a thing, and it was, you could just about use a digital camera and have it look as good as film. We were just maybe about at that point. But in Crank, they're using digital very much as digital. They want it to look like digital. It's almost VHS-y, like it's very low quality.
Yeah.
Intentionally, I think. I think it's supposed to have the look of like a skate video or a music video or something.
Well, also, at the beginning of both films, they have computer game graphics.
Yeah.
And at the end, did you watch past the titles?
I think so, yeah. Certainly the second one. What about the first one?
Yeah, the end credits are very...
end credits have got the video game stuff.
So to me, like, this just basically set it so that this was actually a video game. Like the whole movies, both of them.
I don't think it's ever clear whether, because I mean that is the it's clearly a video game, but I don't know whether it's inspired by a video game or whether we are supposed to believe we are literally watching
it. He fell out of a helicopter onto a car and bounced off the car onto the pavement.
I also want to say, and this comes into his treatment of everybody, but. Like the video game thing is quite obvious. That, you know, they make it obvious that it's either, you know,
there's a Duke Nukem feel, I suppose.
It feels like a video game, yeah. But it also, I think this is interesting for me. The way he treats people in the game is the way we treat NPCs often in video.
Yes,
they are not people. Characterizes the sexual thing a little bit, but I wouldn't want to take it too far on that one. But with the literally the first thing he does in the first film. After he gets out, when he discovers he's got the poison in him, he runs downstairs, he steals a car, he backs, you don't see it, but you hear it, he backs over and runs somebody over. Completely unnecessarily, he just runs a dude over because that dude is worthless to him.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit like, this is how we treat NPCs in video games. Because they're not people. We know they're not people. We are all, even if we, sometimes you feel empathy, sometimes you feel sympathy, you know, for the writing and stuff. But they're not people, and we know they're not people, so we're quite happy to steal all their shit, as I did in...
Also, the thing is as well, is that he told his wife that he was a video game programmer.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I don't know if that's...
Girlfriend,
any,
I don't think...
But he obviously... Anyway, his partner then. But I don't want to be too leaning on a stereotype. He does not, that is not... A guy that programs video.
He doesn't carry himself like somebody who's got a white collar job. No.
Well, now you've got all these programmers who work out and stuff. Like, I think in the 2000s that would have read as absurd, but I think now it's like that's kind of what programmers are starting to look like. Very, as you say, like manosphere fucking tech bro bellends.
I really.
Most of them are just telling their AI to do the job for them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe, but not like Jason Statham. Like Jason Statham looks rugged.
You mentioned Jason Statham. I think these films, without Jason Statham's performance, fall apart because you have to play it.
He brings the British into it big time as well, makes me titter quite a lot. Language and stuff, and his attitude. Yeah.
It's like it's almost like an American view of how British people talk. Like the Cockney slang and stuff is a little bit like, anyway.
This is made up.
Because these films are so absurd. I mean, they're silly. These films are silly. So the central role has to treat it deadly serious, or otherwise it completely spins out, I think. And he plays it completely straight all the way through.
Yeah.
He's never delivering the funny lines as comedy. And I think that's incredibly important. Otherwise it becomes too.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be honest, he did over British it a bit in the second, like, again.
More in the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, brown bread.
He's video game British dude. He's British dude out of like a Grand Theft Auto game or something like that. I mean, they're very Grand Theft Auto in general.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he's got the twink sidekick as well. Odd.
Yeah, he was good. When they brought him back in the second one, I thought, oh, we can't bring two people back from the dead. Like, you know, it's his brother, you know. He was good. What was his name?
I can't remember it now.
Kalo,
that's it. Yeah. Full body Tourette's.
That was just stupid as well. That was.
I'm okay with that. That's funny.
What?
my sister has Tourette's, and she would laugh at that.
I mean, it's not.
It would also be either full book. Well, no, never mind. I'm not going to get into it. Dantic for no good reason.
I don't know. I don't know what. Like, I'm not. I mean, it's hard to like criticize this film because it is just not taking itself in any way, shape, or form seriously.
I think Hamish is right. I think the bit that Hamish singled out is the only bit where, for me at least, where where I was uncomfortable and it crosses a line and that shouldn't have been in the film. I do agree about that bit.
See, because I had that veneer of it being a video game on, I like sort of NPC'd it away almost.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's there as well, but I don't. But even in a video, like, I feel uncomfortable in a video game that wanted that. You know what I mean? Like, it.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they just made it a bit more consensual and silly. Consensual, you know?
Yeah, more consensual. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was it. That was what
like the second one. In the second one, she initiates it, which I think they're making up for it a little bit. They're trying to
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. The second one was just, the second one just sort of tries too hard to do things. Made funny.
The first one has restraints and the second one is unrestrained. And I think that's just 50-50 whether it's too far for you or whether, for me, I was like, they're just reveling in the...
I didn't mean like they've gone too far for my tastes or anything. I just think it was sloppier. It was just not
silly.
It was just.
Well, I mean, what about?
Because you're the one that's meant to have a low tolerance for silly.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought the second one was just
it's like particular kinds of silly. Yeah, no, it's particular kinds of silly.
It's like when he gets set on fire and he just puts up with it and then just does a middle finger and just like.
And also the second one, the first one sort of ties together at the end. Like it has a narrative.
There's a very, very slight story to it, because you get that about three quarters of the way through, you find out that he didn't actually kill the guy that we thought he killed all along.
Yes, yeah.
And there's some really cool stuff in it. Like when they take his weapons off him at the big finale, and he's stood on the roof and he's pointing at people with his finger. And then he goes. And somebody does get shot. I'm sure I've seen that in another film, used in another film since, actually.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But the second one doesn't have an arc, it doesn't come together at the end.
Like, no, it just trundles along, sort of trying to find a reason to.
Does he not find his heart? No, he finds his heart. It's in the old guy.
Yes, but
I did like the reference of the old guy.
He does get it back, yeah.
Did you recognize it? I mean, as soon as I saw the old guy, I recognized who it was.
Oh yeah, and that's another thing.
Carradine from Kung Fu, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's because I think I've seen other videos of people watching these the crank films, talking about them, and they balked at that because that's somebody in Chinese face, basically. It's a white dude.
That was another one that I was.
It's a reference to Kung Fu.
It was a reference. Yeah, that was the point of it.
They highlighted the absurdity of him playing a Chinese dude in this 70s TV show and bringing that forward, rather than, I think, doing it.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's. But I mean, I recognised him right away, so it was like obviously not great.
Yeah.
Not amazing makeup to.
It was good old makeup. He looked old.
Yeah, the old was good. Yeah.
But two things I love in the second film. Two things that elevate it for me. One a little bit and one a lot. The first one is the bit where he's fighting with a dude in like a power substation place, and it becomes a kaiju movie.
That's weird.
They're literally dressed in costumes of themselves. It's so
stupid. Really silly.
So I love it.
That was quite funny. I'll give you that.
The second thing is the callback to, not really a callback, but like, in the first film at the end, he's falling like an absurd height from a helicopter. Yeah. And he has time to, because there's a running thing through the film that his girlfriend doesn't have a cell phone, so he keeps having to call her answering machine. And he's falling from this helicopter on his cell phone, leaving her a message, like a heartfelt message on her answering machine. Like, I can't remember what he says, but like, I wish I'd done everything differently. Like, I regret my whole life. Like, we could have been like, blah, you know, a really heartfelt message. And then he hits his car. And in the second film, you hear the message on her because he's falling from a helicopter. It's just... That is a fucking hilarious joke, and I love it.
That was a good joke as well.
Also, it's kind of strange that he was out for like 3 months.
They want to steal all his organs, so they're keeping him artificially. Whatever, I assume. Like,
you could chop someone up in less than 3 months.
They want to steal all his organs, and
they want them to heal up. I think
on the medical diagram, it's like a huge penis.
Yeah.
Stupid.
The ending was set up similar to the end of the first one as well. They had a sort of, is he really dead?
Yeah.
I thought
they were obviously trying to make a third one with the same strange premise for starting off.
When you say sloppy, I think it's intentionally nonsensical. So in the first one, the confrontation is between Chev and the Hispanic gang.
Yeah.
And then the Chinese gang turns up, like, I'm not dead really, I'll defend Chev because he didn't kill me, kind of thing. Like, there's a confrontation that kind of makes sense. I mean, it's very silly, but it makes sense. In the second one, he has a confrontation with, God, I can't even remember because it's so chaotic, but he has a confrontation with somebody's head who he killed in the last film was in a vat, and then like,
that's right,
a bunch of people with guns turn up, like including a bunch of strippers with guns for no fucking
reason.
It's on his side.
That was the video game part of it, obviously.
Mm. I think they turn up with what's his East Asian lady friend called?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
I liked her a lot.
I can't remember her name, but she was a bit strange. Very strange. She's quite a well-known actress, apparently, as well.
When she turns up at the end, so there's a confrontation between the goodies and the baddies at the end. There's no fucking goodies in this film, but and she turns up with a gun, and you're like, okay, she's on his side, and she just shoots the fucking gardener. The first thing she does,
gardener's just like, what?
So, what made you put high voltage above crank? Is it literally just the absurdity increase?
It's because it's unrestrained. It's clearly what they wanted to do. They felt they had. I mean, it's one of those things. Like constraints are good in art sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But for me, the unrestrained nature, because these films, like, they clearly had a. I mean, the way they shot them, right? I keep backtracking on myself, but the directors of this, they were at the time, they were. Advertisement and music video directors. This is their first feature film, and that shows. In the style and in the inventiveness, and the way they shot it is they got absolute, like, barely good enough for film quality, like almost consumer level, very cheap digital video cameras, and they bought bunches of them and just laid them out everywhere and treated them as disposable. Like I think it's on the second. I can't remember which film it's on, but there's on the extras. There's a 20-minute video of all the bits in the film where you can see cameras because they just scattered everywhere. So there's loads of shots in the film. You don't notice when you. I didn't notice watching it, But there's loads.
It's kind of a fast-paced film, you know.
You know, yeah, like 20 minutes footage from the film where there's a camera visible, and they just kept that in the film. Like they're doing it very ad hoc, very, you know, run and gun, as they call it. And they're clearly just having a ton of fun. And I think the second one is less coherent as a film. It's got less. The first one has like a driving momentum, like going forwards. Like you're kind of with, even though he's a dick, you're with Chev. You're following him. You're kind of a little bit on his side, even though he's
an anti-hero style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the second one is far more chaotic, but it's clearly just, it's them having maximum fun. And I that fun comes through for me. To enjoy chaos. And the intentional nonsensicality. Like when you get that dude's head in the end of that, that has no narrative significance at all. I just watched the first one. I barely remember who he is. Like, I don't fucking
care. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of the brothers. There's three brothers, isn't it? Three brothers in the gang.
I think it is him. Yeah,
Mexican like guys or something.
Somebody clearly they were stoned and somebody had that idea and they were like, "That's fucking great, let's do it." You know, it's just.
But you don't think of that as a film with Jason Statham in there. Like, what was the budget for this film? Since we covered that with PG Gorman,
low for the time. Probably higher than you'd think, but low for the time. I can't remember. Which one do you want?
Either one.
Whenever you look at budgets, it's very much estimated, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Millions?
What was the for the first one?
2006.
Budget, $12 million.
That's very low, really, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, that's low.
How much did Jason Statham get paid? Because he was big when this was going out.
No, I'm not sure he was. I'm not sure he was super big back then. I think this is before. To me, I think you were going to say this is not, you don't think of this as a Jason Statham film. For me, I've not actually seen many Jason Statham films. So for me, this is like the epitome of Jason. This is what I think of when I think of Jason Statham.
I mean, what's he done? He's done Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. I saw him in something called Wild Card. He was in The Transporter 1 and 2.
Yeah,
third one's kind of rubbish.
I think I've half seen The Transporter.
It's a film. Has a
my impression.
Yeah, it has many.
I watched that in a lot. I thought one of you had mentioned it. Must have been Chris then. The Transporter. I did watch that. Yeah.
I mean, I liked it when I was 12.
Transporter 2 as well. Oh, and a 3. I don't know. I don't think I have seen the 3.
The thing about the 3 that I always find a bit amusing is, you know, in Game of Thrones, where Dario Naharis has two actors and they're quite different.
Mm.
The first actor is the guy that plays the Transporter in Transporter 3. He left Game of Thrones because he wanted to like hit it big in Hollywood.
Right.
No one has fucking seen the Transporter 3. Like,
I sort of like that with what's the dude who was in the 300?
He was played by different people, was he?
Beardy dude who honored us in the 300.
Oh yeah, Ed Skrein you're talking about was the English guy who's in. He's the one that left it, was he?
Mm.
Yeah, now I remember seeing him in it. He's been in a few things though.
Oh, is it?
It's Transporter 4 apparently he's in. I didn't know there was.
So Jason Statham.
I didn't know there was a third one and then a fourth one.
I didn't know there was a fourth one.
Transporter Refueled.
Oh, okay.
It's called. But Jurassic World Rebirth, he was in that. And he's in that Rebel Moon, you know, thing. Mm.
Is that the first of the Jurassic World films?
No, that's the new one. Newest one with them.
I think I only watched the first one.
Jurassic World films were okay. They weren't...
I didn't know. The one I watched, I didn't hate it, but I was like, it's like all the other Jurassic Park film.
But the new one's terrible. The 2025 one is awful.
Oh, really?
Really awful. I mean, there's hardly any dinosaurs in it for a start. Which is kind of a...
I heard recently, in the original... Actually, both of you... I know Chris doesn't particularly like Jurassic Park, but so the original Jurassic Park film, guess how many minutes of dinosaurs there are, dinosaur footage there is in that film. I might get this
how long
is
the film? 2 hours?
An hour and a half.
So about 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Let me just Google. That, maybe. Right, I'll let Chris guess while I Google.
I don't know. 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Probably something.
I mean, it's expensive.
Okay, so what I remember is, what I remember is 6 minutes, apparently.
All right.
Six whole
depends
minutes.
If you count. Mm, I mean, it depends
14,
what you count.
Okay, Google's telling me 14 to 15.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing like six, but yeah, it's very low.
But I suppose that's if you, I mean, if you cut out what's meant to be a dinosaur, but you don't see a dinosaur, then that doesn't count, you know? But if you include, like, dinosaurs rustling through bushes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's...
Even then, it's very little. I mean, you are mostly following the humans. Like, you think of it, I think you just think of it as, like, a film that is mostly dinosaurs, when it very much isn't.
No.
But that's, I think that's Spielberg's talent.
Well, I don't know if it's talent as much as things happen. Well, if you look at Jaws, much like his friend George Lucas, if he'd been left to his own devices and everything had worked the way he wanted it,
I think he learned from Jaws. That, the less you have it in, to an extent, the better.
Because really, seeing the shark doesn't do much for you in Jaws anyway.
No,
a lot of things you look back and you're like, how was I scared by that? You know, like The Exorcist, like it's still a scary fucking film, but the effects now look a little bit silly. Like, still admirable for what they were doing at the time, but a little bit cartoony. Whereas the shark in Jaws, I always found it terrifying.
Yeah,
I think the fact that it moves in this kind of inhuman mechanical way actually makes it scarier for me, because sharks are kind of like that. They're kind of weird.
They are an unusual animal. Well, they're
dinosaurs.
An ancient animal. They're one of the oldest animals. Yeah. No, they're not dinosaurs. They're pre-dinosaur.
Oh, even older. They're older than trees.
Yeah, people don't know how old they are and stuff. Yeah. Mm.
And what blows my mind is that sharks have been around longer than trees. That's just...
I mean, are we definitely sure about that? Or did the sharks eat trees?
That's what the sharks had to do to start with before the thing turned up.
Before they got rid of their legs.
Yeah. Also, one thing about Crank that was a bit odd. Both films, the guy from Linkin Park was in it.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like.
Chester something.
Yeah, I mean, they're a fucking awful, awful band. They're really bad. Really fucking bad band.
See, I can't tell the difference between, like, Linkin Park and, like, stuff I'm sure you think is good. I don't understand.
This is gonna be interesting. I was wondering where you were going to go there.
If you played me, like, Linkin Park or, like, Iron Maiden or, like, I don't know, any guitar heavy.
They're not.
I would not be able to distinguish them. Oh, I did learn recently of a term. There's a thing called music. There's a thing called amusia, where you just don't recognize music as music. And then there's a thing called musical anhedonia, as in hedonistic, which means you just, the emotional stuff, they literally are MRI people. And the emotional stuff doesn't fire off when you listen to music, so you just don't have an emotional response.
You think
you've
got that?
Or it's either you don't have an emotional response or your emotional response is lowered. And
do you think that's why you like something like hip-hop and rap so much, because it's more about the words than it is
about... what came out in the studies of this is that stuff with a very sort of intricate beat or very complex classical music does get a bit of an emotional response. I like jazz, I like classical, and I like, you know, a very specific range of hip-hop. And that does seem to align with the stuff that does get a bit of a response from people who have this. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I just lack the emotional response to music.
So you're not really just a psychopath then.
That's the guy from Linkin Park. Yeah, just popped it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
He was going to rub up against.
The rubbing thing
was quite funny because he was not understanding it completely.
when he rubs up against the old lady in the second film, like that's not a sexual assault because it's not sexually motivated. He's just trying to get some electrons off her.
It's also funny.
It's presented like she enjoys it. If that
well, and also later on when she's on that talk show thing that she's on, Jerry Halliwell being his mum.
Oh, yeah, that one.
The talk show. The talk show bit was great.
Yeah, that...
I think one of the things that I want to say as a general sort of thingy of it overall is that it's an anti-bourgeois sensibilities film, and I think that's part of why I like it so much. It's rejecting middle-class bourgeois sensibilities, and I think that's a healthy thing to do.
So you like it because it's
taken
not...
Taken that a bit too not, much from that, but...
Not mid-brow. Not mid-brow.
No, it's highbrow, lowbrow. I think
it's not highbrow, right?
Well, it's high concept, lowbrow.
I don't think it's high concept. It's a bit vaguely artsy sometimes. That doesn't mean a thing.
You were talking about when like they're projecting stuff in the background in the first film. There's a bit in the second film towards the end where he's in a lift with an Asian gentleman and he's sort of hallucinating about what the Asian gentleman's saying. There's a bit where you see it, there's a lot of point of view stuff, and you get the Asian dude's point of view, and he's looking through his own subtitles that are backwards for him.
Mm.
And that was like, that kind of blew my mind. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was a really good scene. I have to admit that was an excellent scene.
That was very good. Yeah.
That was incredibly well done, very well acted, it was very minimal for the movie in a lot of ways.
It was almost a bit too meaningful for the films, do you know what I mean? But yeah,
it's like,
agree,
oh, he's looking inside himself, sort of thing, and
you get little flashes of that in both. I can't remember which bit is out of which film. I think both of these bits are in the first one, where you see there's him with the old man. The first time he reads is not a piece of shit. Is like the old man where he seems to show hospital. Yeah, and she seems to show, and that was a little bit 2001. I thought maybe like this is myself. Like,
I never thought of it later on.
A car goes past, and you don't know whether it's a car with a kid in the back who looks very much like what you would think he would look like as a kid.
Yeah.
And so there's that, me as an old man, me as a young man kind of thing. What have I done with my life? There's a bit of that. There's little bits of...
pathos.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're using my fancy word dictionary.
There's other media things, gangster films often, where the person you're following, I don't think it's quite anti-hero, because the person you're following is an absolute piece of shit. Sopranos is very much this. Tony Soprano is a fucking monster, indefensible, evil monster. But because you're following through the show, because of the way fiction works, you're rooting for him while going, my God, he's a piece of shit at the same time. And that's an interesting thing to do. But I don't think Crank is quite, it's in that ballpark, but it's not quite doing that. But at the same time, Cheb Chelios is an absolute piece of shit.
But I see, I don't even see this. Almost doesn't have a story to me. This is just like watching someone play GTA. Like, to try and distill some sort of character analysis out of Cheb Chelios, to me, I think it is.
I mean, it's the video game framing is explicit. So it is. I mean, if you and I were playing GTA on a stream, I don't know, you might tone down what you're doing, but you know, when you're doing, you know, you're just running people over, beating people up for no fucking reason. So it is, and it's also, it's a little bit like, what is okay in fantasy and what is okay in reality? Like, I often talk about the fact that I think, you know, fantasy is fantasy, reality is reality. You can do whatever you want to do in fantasy, obviously. The mistake some people make is wanting to make your fantasies real and not recognizing that a fantasy is a fantasy. It works because it's a fantasy. Making a fantasy real would be a fucking nightmare, as, you know, these films are fucking nightmares.
Yeah, but also
the billionaire as the billionaire class of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
Epstein stuff.
Yeah.
You know, some of the.
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, I'm not entirely sure on what fantasy is, right? Because obviously, I'm a big fan of the Hitman games, right? And the Hitman games, you play, unsurprisingly, a hitman, and then you go around and you have to assassinate people. Ideally, with as minimal collateral damage as possible. Now, I have no desire to do anything like that in real life whatsoever. Not even in terms of it being, it's just not interesting to me, right? But the games I find really engaging because it's like a puzzle. And the assassination bit is like the framework for this particular kind of puzzle. Is that
how can you get, because it's all about how you can get into somewhere, how you can be disguising yourself, how you can get close to your target.
Yeah.
You know.
Or you can sneak in poison, or you can cause distractions.
So in the Hitman games, it's not that you like the idea of being a hitman and these are ways to fulfill that fantasy. You just enjoy the puzzle aspect. But then I would say, why is the hitman stuff there? Why isn't it just like you go and stick stickers on people? Like, there is something.
I like that.
Stick stickers on people.
Like kick me signs. The goal of the game is to stick a kick.
Put a kick me sign on his back.
I find it would be weird rather than anything else.
It would be weird. Yeah, but it is interesting that like the only way video not the only it's the, hyperbolically the only way video games elicit like excitement in us is through violence. That is interesting.
I don't know.
But no, yeah, but also,
they can be hyperbolically. Like it's very, 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 very common.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, me and Rosie were talking about, we were in, doing our shopping in Co-op, and we passed the magazine aisle, and we thought, we're going on holiday. As a way of like maybe not, you know, being on our phones very much, should we buy a magazine? So we had a look, and my God, so many of these magazines, they're just made for boomers, right? They're like, it's it's like what happened
to us. Made for these people from the post-war.
Well, baby boomers, Like, the,
magazines for people like in the '70s and stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, people, old people, like magazines for like people of, you know, like they're not like people our age. We are not reading magazines. They are not making magazines for people our age.
I think Hamish and I are have one foot in that.
Yeah, you're maybe.
I remember magazines fondling. Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not a boomer. I'm not a baby boomer. I'm definitely well after that.
Yeah,
Gen X.
That's post war.
Yeah.
You know.
But like, but I picked up PC Gamer. I think it was PC Gamer magazine. And because I thought, you know, Rosie's getting into video games. I thought, oh, well, you know, how would you feel about... So she had a flick through this PC Gamer magazine. It was all like Call of Duty style shit, really.
Yeah.
It was all... Well, it was all very like... I don't want to say like men's... boys games type of thing, because they're not games I'm interested in either, or either of us, any of us, to be honest. It's just
so not that's surprising. I would have thought there'd be more indie stuff, because I think most games that most people play for the most time, you know, the
printed magazines are expensive though.
Oh god, it was like £7.
Yeah, I guess
pay. No, I mean to make as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They need the kickback. They're not making sales.
Yeah.
But in gaming is a substance. Most of gaming is indie gaming now, in terms of time spent, games played.
Are you sure that's not just us?
No, I think even like if you go on like a very mainstream I play COD kind of Twitch stream or YouTube channel, like at least half of what they're playing is indie.
Is like Roblox indie?
The popular end of like indies. Yeah, I don't mean right, but you know, like Hades. Everybody's fucking played Hades. You know, like these kind of
Firewatch. That was big in
the
day.
The font was
very, very effective.
So those are old magazines. I'm sure.
Stardew Valley. Like everybody played Stardew Valley. Like Terraria. You know, like
yeah. These are old magazines that I go for nostalgia reasons. But.
What I like about old computer magazines from that era is the ones made in Britain, they were very British. They had a very British sensibility.
Mm.
Yeah. But these ones, I'm trying to remember the name of the company that made the Retro Games magazine. But I picked up a couple of the specials at a computer show.
Is that a new one? Is that a new magazine?
These are new, yeah. Well,
right, right. Are they good?
Yeah,
I think they're good. There's, you know, being that they're talking about old stuff, it is a bit of stuff, some stuff you already know.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have it all together and see the screenshots and see younger people being interested in it all and talking. I mean, even this, they're talking about, you know, this is a, what is this? This is, hang on, I'll find out when this issue is for.
Oh, God, I can't even block the ads on Twitch no more.
No, I haven't been on there for a long, long time.
Oh, okay, I'm scanning through.
I can't find the exact date of this.
I think it's probably, I'm just looking on the front page of Twitch, and it's, there are like a decent showing of indie games. Yeah. There's
9 things to do. They couldn't think of 10.
Well, they're talking about specifically an STE though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show
off
the different chipset. Yeah. But so I picked up two issues. One was it's all Atari stuff. And the other one was this one. Oh, the Pixel Addict's the name of the magazine. You're not a fan?
No, it's good.
All right.
Sorry, what was that?
A special issue of All About Elite.
Oh, I don't know that game.
You don't know it?
No.
You've never heard of Elite?
You must.
Is that
winding us up?
No, what kind of game is it? I mean, it's...
No, I don't believe.
No, it's a wind-up.
Is it like Pac-Man?
It's just like Pac-Man.
It's space trading. It's what was it? It was like 30,000 lines of assembly or something, and it's got like billions of star systems in it. It's all
Well, it
was more
procedurally generated galaxy. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to find this. It's a lot of the people that wrote the In this thing, they've got a lot of people that wrote the conversions and stuff for all the different platforms and stuff like that.
Was the original Roller Coaster Tycoon written in assembly?
I don't know.
Or did it come out on first?
It was like ST PC. Era, wasn't it? Like
was it if it was ST Amiga time, then yeah, it would be written in assembly.
Oh.
That was written by, what's it, Habasis, the dude who went on to do like AlphaGo for Google stuff. My friend worked with him for a while.
Oh.
On
Several versions of Elite. It was put on a few different platforms.
Hmm.
Yeah, what was that? What was that game that was like Dungeon Master but James Bond themed? Evil Genius. Yeah, my friend worked with him on Evil Genius and on the game they did before that, Republic. And he was an erratic genius. He was a weird dude.
Hmm. Well, Twitch seems as bland as ever.
Yeah, when I say like Twitch, like it's obviously like a Valorant streamer is going to be streaming Valorant 90% of the time, but on their downtime, you know, if you look at what they actually play for enjoyment, it's going to be like indie stuff a lot.
Now, there are indie ones here. I'm just like, there's just like a woman here that's just having a cup of coffee in her underwear. Okay.
Of course, because that's how everybody plays their video games.
Oh, there's no video games. She's just having a cup of coffee. She's there.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. Misunderstood. I forgot what Twitch was like. I've been there for years. You distracted me by mentioning ladies in underwear.
Yeah. I remember the guy, the Twitch guy, Dan Clancy, was being interviewed. And he was demonstrating the mobile Twitch app where you can, like, I don't know how familiar you are with how these apps work, but, like, it scrolls through things it thinks you like. And it was going like, boy, Dan Clancy, you sure have a lot of bikini streamers there on your For You page. Busted. I mean, it's like there are, like... Yeah. It's kind of strange because there are, like, obviously... like proper porn streaming sites.
It's odd, isn't it, that people go to Twitch? It's the parasocial side of it, isn't it? Which is what
I was going to say. Probably another thing is if your girlfriend walks into the room,
I'm just on Twitch, yeah.
Or your mum walks in or whatever. I'm just using Twitch.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
That time my mum walked in. My mum walked in when I was playing. There was a game that was about the you had to play Bejeweled to fuck ladies. So it was a match three game
in
order to get ladies' clothes off and fuck them. That's not right, but yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, and I was literally on the last level, so my focus is on the Bejeweled because I'm trying to finish it while this lady is doing very loud orgasm noises, and my mum comes in and like, what do you want for tea? And I was like, I've got to make this lady come before I can concentrate. Hang on. I'll give you a minute.
I'm just trying to think what's the naughty game that I got swept up in. It's like MILF Plaza or something, and you know, I got it because it was a sexy game, but actually like the gameplay itself, it sucked me in.
Yeah.
I've got like 12 hours in it.
Poker games were the sort of 8-bit era thing.
My god, I remember back in the day when you used to download like really dodgy EXE files from the internet of like strip poker, and I ended up strip blackjack was the
back
one
in the day, and he talks about an EXE file.
Yeah.
Hamish will remember this, getting like an art pack of like 1-bit sexy images, literally black and white. And when I say black and white, gray.
Yeah.
Literally just black and white.
Talking about, they put them on discs. Mono. From the same place you get your shareware.
Your friend at school would be like, you got to see these, amazing. It's just like 1-bit horrible, 40x40.
But they had actual magazines back then, and they weren't ridiculously expensive.
We were 9.
Fair enough.
You had to find them. You had to find them by the side of the road when truckers had thrown them out the window or in the woods. Porno magazine would find in the woods.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Weirdly good source for porn.
Get wood in the woods.
That's what the national campaign was.
Porno mags in the woods now. It's a USB drive.
Yeah. It's a USB drive.
Yeah. Would you ever, if you found a USB in the woods, would you ever see what's on it?
Oh yeah.
Not on a Windows or Mac machine, but yeah, I might risk it on a Linux machine because
100% I would. I'd be so curious.
It's not going to be anything.
When I occasionally watch YouTube videos of people restoring computers from like the 80s or whatever, and they get like, I don't know, an Apple II with a hard drive or something, and then they're like, oh, this hard drive's got data on it. We better wipe that because of that person's privacy. I'm like, you've got far more respect than I would have.
Oh, no, no. A lot of people don't. There's actually a good reason not to do that. A lot of the machines that were well enough looked after to have, or high-end enough to have things like hard drives, were quite often developer machines, and you might find source code for things. There's a lot of people don't do that deliberately for that very reason.
Government agencies, I'd be like, I want to see what files are on here.
One time I was crashing at this guy's house who was not in the country, long time ago, and I made the mistake.
Squatting.
I mean, he knew I was there.
Yeah, you call Jeffrey.
Sorry, what?
Never mind. I was going to make a stupid joke.
Oh, yeah. And I made the mistake of looking through his internet history, and then I decided at that point, I'm not doing that again. He likes
don't want to know that about your friends.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
But my friends.
He was only a distant acquaintance, if anything, really. Oh, yeah. But it was just mucky. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like nothing that crossed the line, but like it was just.
You're into that, are you?
Oh God, no! I don't. You know, mucky man. It's just like, and you know what? It's like that sort of soured me off. Looking into other people's files. Then it's just like, you know what? Sometimes you're just better off not knowing. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about Crank, aren't we?
I think we've talked about it a decent amount.
I think we have. What made us go off magazines. What made us start talking about magazines? That's when I went and got.
It's in indie games, but I can't remember how we got onto
that. It was because Chris was going to buy a magazine, and he said that they're all for old people.
Most of them are for old people.
I noticed in Tesco if I go in for shopping at Tesco, there's like three or four magazines about how to use AI, right next to two or three magazines telling you how evil AI is.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it does amaze me how people just casually use it. But then it amazes me people still use Microsoft products. So like people pay for Microsoft Office.
That people use word processors. That category of software should not fucking exist. It should be desktop.
Well, the problem is word processors.
There shouldn't be something in the middle.
Yeah, word processors used to be word processors, though. That was the point. They used to be word processors.
What, just fucking print out plain text. It was just memo shit in offices. Just what you don't need.
Yeah, so they've got to have an access to the fonts and the layout and everything. Yeah,
No, don't need it.
You don't need it.
No. I don't.
Especially dot matrix. Like plain text.
I know
it's one per line. If it's fucking formatted text, it's for your fucking heading. Like, don't bother.
No. A Pandoc is all you need. That's
it's it's products that, you know, looking for a use. You know, that's been the tech valley.
I think the spreadsheet was revolutionary. That was a revolutionary invention. That spreadsheet, I think, is the thing that made computers necessary in.
Well, that was the first killer app.
Spreadsheet. No, 100%. Because they are clever. They're clever. You know, that's so much easier than doing it by hand. You know, as a bookkeeper, it's less error prone. Yeah. You know, it's that's a genuine revolution.
But that's going to annoy me now. I've forgotten which one it is. VisiCalc.
Yeah. Because VisiData is like a terminal. N-cursors kind of thing that's quite good.
Yeah, VisiCalc 1979.
I think I do on occasion use VisiData, although nowadays I'm just running stuff through bash scripts and command line stuff. But it's still the same principle of the spreadsheet in a lot of cases.
Not the calculations and the looking back and stuff, but if using a spreadsheet just for formatting, then tabulation basically.
But also with word processors in particular, like we don't print shit no more. It's a very small percentage of society is working off paper nowadays.
Well, a lot of whenever this comes up in like when we're talking in the Discord, there's always somebody who's like, no, I still print stuff. I think Wings.
I do. I've got a big laser printer.
Yeah.
What do you print?
Game stuff a lot. To do with games, tabletop games.
Oh, do you mean like character sheets and stuff?
Yeah, blank character sheets, proxy cards for card games.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Trying to think what else I've printed recently. When I get an appointment through for something medical, ironically, I'll then, even though they've sent it e-paper, I'll then print it. Although I won't print the whole document, I'll just print the bit with the time and date so that I know where I'm going.
You famously fucking hate trees. You're just trying to destroy.
Yeah, them. I hate trees. Oh, God, yeah. No, but I don't. I mean, I don't go through. Like, I used to boxes of paper a year, but now, you know, like a single ream of paper will last me probably a couple of years. It's not that much.
Do you know, I'm sure
I've been doing more of this kind of printing, the 3D printer. I've had that. I've been running that today.
Oh, okay. But models, is it? Or anything else? Guns?
Oh, it's not very exciting, I'm afraid. It's. I did a couple of these a few weeks ago and somebody liked it and they wanted another one. So it's a box for magic cards.
Oh, okay.
It's,
that's quite nicely finished, actually. Can you show me close? That's quite smooth, isn't it? That's not bad, that.
That's good.
A bit of jaggies, but not much.
Yeah, NYC? I mean, it's printed, I printed it.
Oh, I see. It's Turtles themed.
Turtles, yeah, Turtles. That's the other one, but I made one, and I accidentally printed like the same end twice, so I ended up making two before. And
two lips.
What I did was with this thing, with the raised part, I asked my friend, the guy at the that liked the Turtles, I said, well, which one do you like? And he told me, and I remembered which one he liked, looked up what colour it was, and I painted in the mask and then resin filled it and cured it over the top because it's paint, it comes off. So I didn't do that. I didn't do anything to the sides because they're, you know, it's the bit you're going to pull. I thought, even if I paint that and coat it, it's going to come off eventually.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Make it look like enameled, essentially, would be the result.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Wow. But
because I printed two, there was somebody else who was kind of into the Turtles because there was a Turtles Magic thing that like four people played and nobody else was interested in. So I gave this lady that plays it as well. Because I said, oh, Zenry else like Turtles, and I can give them the other one. And Izzy likes that, blah, blah. And then this lady, Izzy, came up to me and said, oh, could I get another one? And I said, yeah, no problem. So I've made her another one. But the other ones I made in white, but I wasn't sure how much white I had left. So I did it in, well, this is wood. Is the name of that colour.
Did you?
That's done.
Do you just like download the designs or make them yourself?
Yeah, you can. Well, you can get a thing ready to print, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also get stuff that's like modular.
Okay.
And then you put them into the final stage program and arrange them so that they, you know, connect each other properly, and then set it to slice. And then it sends the data.
What kind of programs do you use for it?
I use, hang on, and I'll tell you the name of it. Recent applications. Orca Slicer is the slicer I use, which is the final thing that converts a model into a G code, which is, you know, what do you call it? Computer design. Oh, I forgot what it's called now. You use it on machine, you know, industrial machines use it. We've used it since, I don't know, the 70s, I think. And it's what they still use on routers, laser cutters, 3D printers, all those. They all use the same language.
Oh, nice.
G-code is the sort of encapsulation, but it's actually called, what's it called? You used to get people, you know, you'd see it advertised all the time in job centers and stuff. Oh, I forgot what it's called. That's really annoying.
Have you made any designs yourself? Do you use FreeCAD or something like that?
I'm not very good with those things yet, but I have been trying. I'm going to embarrass myself.
Is FreeCAD the right tool I'm thinking of, or am I thinking of, or is that the wrong?
There's quite a few different ones.
Blender? Can you do a model in Blender and then convert it into the thing?
I find those kind of programs really difficult to use, but the CAD one that I've got installed is OpenSCAD is the one.
Okay.
I've got on the go. What the fuck's the name of this thing? It's really annoying me now what this thing's called.
Okay. OpenSCAD is software for creating solid 3D CAD objects.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's another one that's a kind of a language kind of.
Is it in the repos or do you download it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's in Debian, it's in Fedora. OpenSUSE.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ones I've tried because I'm not very good with them, so I've kind of. It's really annoying me what this thing's called, though.
Oh, is Hamish's favorite?
CNC.
Flatpak?
CNC. That was what it was. Oh, that was annoying me. Computer Numerical Control. But yeah. sometimes in Magic, so going back to Magic, oh, that's the wrong box, you get cards where you have to choose something when the card comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
But the, obviously the card has both options written on it, so you have to sort of indicate which one you've chosen.
Yeah.
And so I printed out from a label printer a little you know, label, and obviously didn't take the sticky side off. Mm-hmm. And I used that, but that started to curl up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like this, you know, so it's just a label.
Mm.
And it's got two sides. But then I made my own first ever, this is the first ever 3D printed thing that I've made from scratch. And it's not great, but it does the job, because, you know, you put it on.
It will teach monkeys how to use tools.
I kind of want you to eventually work up to having Space Virgin's action figures.
Well,
it's all right. We've got time.
It's possible. It's possible. You know.
I'll have to get Blender.
I was going to say the answer to that is there are already action figures, you know, on the 3D printing model sites.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's arty, Drew, maybe put the face on. You know,
might have a play about in Blender. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm terrible at even these things that are supposed to be easy to make geometric shapes and stuff. Somehow I can never get them to line to work properly. You know, it's like, which button do I put? And then something that's meant to be a straight line becomes like a wobbly line, and it's like, what am I doing wrong? And I just get so frustrated by them. I'm just absolutely inept at art packages of any type. Anyway, I'm Crank, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Crank, interesting. Did you notice anything? There's a strange thing in the Crank video game intercut, you know, the little intercuts in the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them seems to be Berserk, which is, you know, kind of fitting, but it's not really the game that...
Vaguely remember, but I remember
Berserk
the
Berserk is a sort of maze, you know, a loose full-screen maze with, like, robots coming at you and you're shooting in all directions and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or Robotron is another one.
Mm. This is not something I'm personally interested in, but I know it's the kind of thing people are interested in. But there's a bit, you know, when the porn stars are protesting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I do it.
Oh yeah. Oh, there was a funny line in that. I have to check what it was.
Yeah. Oh, Ron Jeremy's in that as well.
Ron Jeremy, now known sex offender, is in it. But
is he a wrong'un? Damn it.
He wasn't cast or anything. He just turned up.
Oh really?
He heard they were doing a bit with porn stars, and he turned up and was like, "Can I be in this scene?" And they were like, "Okay."
Well,
but it was the line was, I think it was the cop pulls up and goes, "We've got some angry beaver here to do something like that."
Funny. Actually, I did have a thought. I don't think we can do it. It's not out until July 23rd, right? But since this is an idea based on another one of Drew's absurd opinions. So you know how he weirdly rates The Big Bang Theory?
Kind of.
You like that?
Kind of.
Misogynistic.
Misogynistic, is it, particularly?
Yes. Yes, I'm not even going to get... Anita Sarkeesian did a whole article on it. And
it's a fucking idiot.
Okay, all right, anyway. So... they have done, and you know they did a spin-off called Young Sheldon.
Which is very good.
It's supposed to be, I've heard it's quite good, I haven't seen it, won't.
No, it's completely, tonally, it's a completely different show, much cleverer writing. Like, it's a more respectable TV show that you wouldn't be embarrassed to watch.
Okay. Now, they've actually done another spin-off, and this new, they're releasing it on July 23rd. It's based on the guy that runs the comic book shop in it, Stuart.
Oh, no.
Wait, hear me out. It's called Stuart Fails to Save the Universe.
Oh, no.
Watch the trailer and tell me.
I'm already appalled.
No, watch the trailer. I think this is one for it. Because it could go either way.
Like a 2000s idea. Yeah, what would be the plan? Like, because I suspect I would not want to watch more than one episode of that.
I'll tell you what, after the first episode comes out, we'll just convene and be like, all right, should we watch the full series before doing a video or not? Or just do it after the first one. But basically,
I have to have seen all of the other stuff.
No.
I've only seen bits of the
Because the thing is, it seems like they almost take it out of universe. Like, there's a couple of...
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like post-apocalyptic, but different timeline. Kind of, he basically gets transported into another timeline where it's an apocalypse, okay. And then they just crack.
I don't even know that character. I don't think, is he in the first one or is he only in the Young Sheldon?
No, he's not. He's not in Young Sheldon at all. He's in the first. Yeah. He's in the Big Bang Theory.
I might have remember seeing him. But
just the dude who runs the comic shop. He's very sort of gaunt looking and
a bit pathetic. Yeah.
Of course, because that's what people that run comic shops are.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I don't know. I think I'm not saying it's going to be good, but I am saying the trailer has made me interested.
Okay, yeah, but what are we doing before that? What's next? Because that
I do have. Okay, I have a movie recommendation that we shouldn't do for Space Virgins because it's just straightforwardly a good movie, so it's not interesting to talk about. But I have one that I would like to. So the first one, it's just Project Hail Mary, which is the popular film right now. Everybody says it's really good, and it is really good. It's really fucking good. Go into it knowing as little as possible. Not because it's like spoiler twist heavy or anything like that. It's just it's a nice.
Yeah,
one
I don't
to
know much about it. I don't know much about it at all. So it's probably now's the time to watch it. Then
I don't think it'd be hugely interesting to talk about because it is just a good film. But the one I'd like to share with you, go on, yeah.
Well, I keep bothering you about Megalopolis.
Oh yeah, no, we should absolutely do Megalopolis, yeah.
And that again, it's because Francis Ford Coppola, so Hamish might enjoy his true. Ridley Scott's the one you really like. So
I was wondering whether you were mixing up because
I wouldn't say I'm super into Ridley Scott, but I like some of his films. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
okay, so we do Megalopolis.
Well, I was going to suggest
Megalopolis next, right? Oh, go on, sorry, Hamish.
No, I mean, I was going to suggest one because I'd mentioned it last episode, and I thought there was hints of it in places. Which one was it? Oh, I can't remember what it was in. I can't remember if it was in Psycho Gorman that made me think of it, or if it was the other film I watched at the same time. But anyway, something made me think of it, and that's Maximum Overdrive, the Stephen King film. It was written and directed by Stephen King.
Oh God! Oh, you did mention that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, don't read too much. No, Chris, don't read too much about it.
All right, I'm closing the window.
It's one of those. I think it's better if you just go into it without knowing because it.
Okay. Well, how about we cue things up and okay? So next we'll do Maximum Overdrive, then Megalopolis, and then back to me, and I'll pick.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Hang on a minute. Are we ever going to get round to the Human Centipedes, or is that completely off the table?
Yes. I think that's our narrative arc. It's like the will they, won't they kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure I've got the... whatever her name was.
Make fun of it, really.
I mean, you won't like them. It's all I can say.
Yeah, but that's kind of like not really encouraging us to watch them.
Yeah.
The first one's boring.
When we get there, all the fans...
The first one's boring.
The first one's boring
because you see people getting sewn together and their bodies.
Yeah, but you already know that that's happening and that happens.
I've never experienced somebody saying the first one's boring with such delight on their face.
I know this is it. This is what you're not selling it to us very well.
It is.
All.
No, I mean the first one is you just got to get through it, right?
I've seen the first one.
Oh yeah.
I think I've seen the second one.
The second one is just horrifying. Like, it is genuinely just a horror to watch. If you watch the uncensored version...
Which is the one with the policeman in it? Is that the first one or the second one?
I think it's the first one. The second one's in black and white. All of it is in black and white.
Hang on, which one's in black and white?
The second one.
Second one, okay. The horrifying one.
Yeah, the horrifying one. Like, it is...
The prison one.
The prison one's the third one, which is...
What's the one bullet point gist of the second one?
It's as gross and as horrifying as they could possibly make it. They're pushing the envelope of horror in the same way that Crank was pushing the envelope of action.
Absurd. Yeah.
Yeah, and the third one is a bit like, I don't know, I want to say South Park meets Human Centipede. Like, it's kind of that, like...
Yeah, it's like everything you say. I will...
Anyway, can I just clarify, Megalopolis or Maximum Overdrive are going to do it first?
Maximum Overdrive, then Megalopolis, and then
okay. Can I just ask a question? Is Maximum Overdrive good?
No, it's derided, but I think it's good.
Okay.
Okay.
It was cult. It was a cult hit, but I like. I've always liked it. I've never seen it as anything other than. Well, I just watch it as a thing.
As I think many people my age at the time did. Like I read a lot of Stephen King back in the day, and he's a very talented writer. He's a very good writer of prose, which has, you know, a narrative energy to it.
Like, yeah, I've been reading a lot of his stuff again. I haven't read before lately. Yeah.
He can't. He cannot for the fucking life of him write an ending.
No, he's not very good with like endings.
The books are great until the ending of this. It just, he cannot.
Some are slightly better than others, but yeah.
some are slightly better.
Some of them sort of suggest themselves. Well, if you think of things like Misery, the ending of that kind of fits.
I would say that's a slight, you know? Yeah, because that's not his non supernatural ones. He writes better endings.
Mm-hmm, yeah, possibly.
I would say. Yeah, but like some that have been converted into. Do you ever watch?
All of them.
I enjoyed the ones I enjoyed the most. Like there was, it's short story ones. They made a TV movie of the Langoliers or Langoliers. I'm not sure how to say it. Have you ever seen that?
I can't remember what that one is. Is it just called the Langoliers?
It's when people. It's basically black Pac-Mans eat time.
No, I don't think I've seen that one. No.
And then these people go on a plane and they get out of phase with time and they're lagging a bit behind. So the Langoliers are coming to eat them because they eat the past, basically, so the future can happen. Yeah. And that one, kind of, it's cheesy as shit. Like the production quality on, you know, on a TV movie of it, is, but it's I kind of love it.
Another short story that's converted to a TV movie is I enjoyed a lot is Silver Bullet.
Don't know that one.
Right, it's a werewolf one. Okay. Probably obvious from the Silver Bullet part. Yeah. But there's a bit in it that you just don't expect.
Okay. I might give that a watch.
Yeah. There's a bit that scares the shit out of you. I mean, it's been done since, this thing, but I don't, not very often, so, you know. Not as unexpectedly as I found it in this one. But then again, I was quite young when I saw it, so.
Stephen King's an odd man, though. Like, he was a writing machine just fueled by cocaine. He'd, like, wrote 7,000 books a day. It was ridiculous. But yeah, like I said, a lot of really good prose. I think he's particularly good at he's a really good dialogue writer, and a lot of writers on.
Yeah, he does. He does like good dialogue. Chris, are you?
I'm doing
engrossed in something.
I'm doing the thumbnail. I'm doing my classic.
Ah, right. Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you did them after the show. No, because I was going to say before. Have we stopped? By the way.
No, not yet. No, we're still going.
Because all I was going to say to you is, we're doing just to give everybody a bit of. I know people. My mum used to go mental if I wouldn't tell her what a film was about before she watched it. It's really annoying. Watch it. You don't need to know anything. Why do you need to know what's going to happen before you watch it happen? But the brief synopsis is that a weird meteor shower happens and machines come alive. That's the briefest of synopsis about it. But I think even knowing that before it starts is pointless.
Like the Triffids, but not plants.
Kind of, yeah. You could say it was sort of inspired of that. Yeah, sort of. Nobody gets blinded. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've got another
one. Not by the meteors.
They should remake the Triffids. That'd be great.
Yeah,
I think with good effects, that could be a good one. Well, I was talking in the comments section of a new. You want to finish this video because otherwise we're going to start off talking about all sorts.
No, I've got actually. Crack on.
Well, I was just going to say there's a couple of things that need to have a remake for modern times.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. Triffids is sort of timeless. That's, you know,
a crank.
Better effects and stuff you could do. No. Somebody was saying that, what was the one? 1980, they reckon there should be a remake of 1984, but brought up to date with, you know, of a starting point of where we are with technology and stuff to show people how.
Fuck George Orwell and his Tory boy. Do you know he claimed to be a fucking socialist. I mean, to be fair, he did go.
He's an arsehole. Yeah,
he literally reported his gay friends or gay acquaintances to the precursor to MI5, MI6 back then as possible, you know, Soviet targets for infiltration. He was an absolute piece of shit. Also, his politics.
It doesn't change the actual work.
People need to stop reading. It's terrible.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, and also, isn't like V for Vendetta a bit like?
It's a bit like that.
I've never read or seen V for Vendetta, honestly.
I've only seen it. I've not because really like comic, Watchmen. Isn't it? So I wouldn't watch comic.
Yeah, I really like Watchmen, but I've never engaged with V for Vendetta. It just seems a bit. It seems a bit naive from what I've heard about it.
It's a little catchphrasey, I think.
Yeah. It's a bit
anarchist. Yeah, yeah. It's that type of anarchism that is like a little bit like edgy of its time. Do you know what I mean?
Middle like class.
Well, it's more like the posturing of it. It's not
in the film itself, but the sort of the feel of it has definitely got that. The other film though that I think, if I can get this out because I'll forget otherwise, I'll be watching the video back and going, "Oh God, I remember what I was going to say." The other thing that I think needs a remake, and with a pretty good budget, I think not too much over. You know, I think the writing should be kept low key, like the original. Especially the dialogue and stuff, but the technology around you should be, and that's Threads. I think people have missed. There's a couple of generations that don't know how fucking horrible it all is.
No, do you know what? I think because people our age, because I watch a lot of nuclear war stuff. It's one of my special interests. Right? Okay.
Yeah, I watch a lot.
There seem to be a lot of young people who, whenever you go to like even America, because there's an American equivalent of Threads, but I think Threads, they're both good, but Threads the is better. And I see young Americans in their 20s recommending Threads. I think people do actually know about Threads.
All right. It'd be nice to have something
horrifying.
Yeah, because that's what's missing from most of these films. And particularly the American one kind of soap operaed it up a bit as well. After is a wee bit sort of...
Oh, it's so
have you seen the War Game from the one that they wouldn't show at first?
War Games from
that's
the 80s.
That's pretty scary. The War Games is from the 60s.
Ah, okay.
And the BBC shelved it because they were terrified.
Oh.
People got action. It's not got a lot of effects or anything like that. It's pretty basic, but the actual, it's still, you know, it's a bit like Threads. They've got like information over the top of it, you know, read out over the top and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a recommendation for you, Hamish. It's a relatively recent film that's like in the same kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're into that sort of thing, please let me know.
I can't remember the title of it though. Let me.
But if you're watching this and you haven't seen Threads, watch Threads. It's a 1984 British film about the realities of nuclear war. Super effects laden or anything. It's just people's everyday lives, and then what happens to society afterwards. It's not over because the Americans have to sort of, you know, they blow the budget on the fucking effects.
They very heavily narrativize it as well. The film I'm recommending is called A House of Dynamite, Hamish.
2025?
Yeah, it's a good one. I think you'll enjoy it.
I do watch Threads a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's like never, you know, it's never lost its impact.
I, for one, think that nuclear war is bad. I, for one, think that nuclear war is bad.
Can we cut that? I think that's too controversial. I don't think we can have
that. I think he does take things too far, doesn't he?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think you've always had
over
line.
The top.
Whoops.
No, but I think the thing about Threads that makes it work is the Britishness of it, the dreariness. It's the Coronation Street of
it's very matter of fact
nuclear war films. Yeah.
Whereas the American, I enjoyed the American one as well, but it's far more Hollywoody. It's narrative-wise. Although the launch, I like the launch in America.
The actual launch. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They put a lot more effort into the effects and stuff than they do into the. Into just the script, you know. But Barry Hines, I don't know, but I think Barry Hines is still cutting about writing. So maybe he could write it and then just take in, you know, modern. Because that's the thing, people are even more reliant on technology and things than they were back then.
Oh, yeah.
You cut off
10 years ago, if they remade it, it would have been a dirty bomb, and it would have been brown people setting off a dirty bomb. Don't want that. I want global thermonuclear war.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's what. The problem is that people have come to think they've forgotten it all. They've forgotten everything that happened since the Second World War, to the point where use a few, because Trump is fucking gagging to use some tactical nuclear weapons. And once people, like, I mean, Trump and Putin, they're the kind of people that once they realise that the monkey glands and the fucking virgin blood and everything are not going to keep them alive forever. They're just as likely to go, fuck it, if I can't live, nobody else can. Yeah. They strike me as those kind of people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all set up as a sort of, you know, oh, if in case we can't manually launch it, there's loads of like stuff that can go automatically. And I mean, yeah, we've been saved from that a few times by people intervening.
I'm amazed that tactical nukes have not been used. I mean, there may have been, and we don't know about it. But I
think that's hard to get past the international scientific community, though.
I don't know.
Because it depends how low the yield is.
Heavily controlled, and exactly. Yeah, but I was going to say.
But if it was the Americans that did it, they'd have it all on film, and they'd be showing it all on the evening news and going yee-haw over it.
You and I, Hamish, like we lived through the tail end of the Cold War. And I don't think it was a political reality, but the sort of cultural consensus back then was like, it's probably going to happen. Like one day it's probably going to happen. And that was, I think people underestimate, I think people think of the, like the Cuban Missile Crisis as like the height of the threat. I mean, that was a high point for sure. But I think
the height of the Cold War was later.
In terms of the nuclear, in terms of it almost going to a nuclear war. Hmm. But I think the mid 80s were another high point that people kind of forget. Like I think the political tensions compared to the 60s, I think had largely eased, but yeah, there was just this sense of it will probably happen. There'll be some clash somewhere, you know, or some border clash where somebody will use a tactical nuke and then it will escalate. That's the world we live in.
I think that's what most of those 80s films do as the premise, isn't it?
I mean, even as somebody who's, like, I was young back then, obviously, so I was, you know, we were all mediatized that, you know, our side was the good side and the other side was the bad guys. And, like, and then when the Berlin Wall fell and, you know, the Soviet Union collapsed, there was some relief that future looked less likely. But then, your conception of things change.
Okay, this thumbnail's, I think it's a good one.
Okay. Are we ready to wrap up?
We are ready to wrap up. So Maximum Overdrive, hope it's entertaining. I gotta be honest, so far,
because it came up during the Psycho Gorman thing, didn't it? Hamish was comparing,
I think that was when it came up. Reminded me of it.
Okay, so for me, the order of movies that we've rated goes PG Gorman, Psycho Gorman at the top, Crank 1, and then quite a distant way is Crank 2. Like, it's,
I
just,
didn't watch Crank 1, sorry. I just watched Crank.
Oh, Crank, you know.
As soon as the two exist, the unmarked one becomes one.
Yeah.
I think we should zero base movies. I think they should. I think when you make a movie, even if you're not intending to make a sequel, you call it That Zero. and like that recent Godzilla one, if you make a prequel, they should be negative numbers, like Godzilla minus one. That was the correct way to name films. Like, do that. So Star Wars 4 is Star Wars 0, and then the prequels are minus 3, 2, and 1.
Okay.
So nobody should.
All right.
Oh, there's a new Star Wars film coming out at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Mandalorian.
Mandalorian and Rogu. I have to admit, I probably will.
Yeah, I will. And I'll probably enjoy it. So fuck you.
Some of the others were bad, but that one, Mandalorian, was good.
I really like The Mandalorian. I like most of them, to be honest, the live action. Maybe my
stuff.
Well, I'm obviously only counting live action ones as real ones. Yeah. So.
You know how we did an episode where you sort of took the piss out of my rating? Having seen yours, we need to do the same thing in reverse. some of your tens and some of your ones are war crime.
What's one of my ones that's?
Oh, you want to stop the? Have you stopped the video?
I haven't stopped the video yet. I want to hear this drama about the ones. What, Ghostbusters, Big Bang Theory,
no.
Ready Player One.
That's all fine.
Ex Machina at 2. Pirates of the Caribbean.
You didn't like it. You didn't. I thought Ex Machina.
You won. Let's have a look at your tens. Okay, what's your most obscene ten? Firefly. That's a 5 if ever I've seen it.
No, disagree. Strongly disagree.
Absolutely, like nothing. Ten. The most mid thing to ever exist.
I could be persuaded to drop it down to a 9. But the thing is, if it went beyond one series, it
wouldn't be as good. It's almost the reverse of a Star Trek. Star Trek's all start off shite and then sometimes get better. Hmm.
Sneakers as a 9 is obscene, obviously.
I really enjoyed it.
Did you watch it again recently?
Yeah, yeah. Every time I watch it.
Are you remembering
it,
from...
No, no, I watch it about once a year. It's one of my...
Okay.
Scrolling down, I'm not as offended as I was. Maybe you fixed them, or maybe I'm just feeling a bit calmer right now.
The terminal I gave... Why did I... Oh, yeah, the terminal. Didn't you give the terminal like a
that
2
seems high. That seems high for the terminal.
What's the terminal? Yeah. Which one's that?
It's Castaway, but he's in an airport instead of an island.
Oh, it's Tom Hanks thing, yeah.
Tom Hanks,
it's not entertaining.
It doesn't make me think I want to watch it.
Okay, so...
Tom Hanks. I don't think he can act for shit.
The thing is, it's a little bit like my enjoyment of, like, liminal spaces. Like, it's this guy who basically is stranded in an airport. Like, he has to live in an airport, and he's a bit... It's the film version of that guy, that YouTuber that tried to spend, like, a week or 2 weeks in an airport. Who's now an MEP?
I don't know.
From Cyprus, the Cyprus guy.
I remember you mentioning him. Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name?
Can you help us pronounce the name of the new
Phidias?
Darth Sidious.
Phidias. Darth.
You got problems.
Phidias. The Welsh assembly leader guy.
Chrwyn Aplor with, is it?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I struggle with it too, to be honest.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves as an 8 is, I wouldn't say like...
Are you fucking mental?
That's interesting, because I quite enjoy that film. I do quite enjoy that film.
Some of it is based on just like my enjoyment for it, or like what it is.
Like
it's only just trying to be an adventure movie with
I think because it was very 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 popular, and then there was like sort of like a bit of a backlash against it, and I think the backlash was somewhat unfair for exactly what it's a good adventure romp.
Yeah, and I prefer that. I think Mel Brooks' Men in Tights is rubbish. To be honest, I agree.
I'm not into it.
I like Mel Brooks, but I don't think that's...
I don't
that's
like Mel Brooks. I don't... No. Sorry, Ozoned. No. I don't like Mel Brooks.
I was going to say, Ozoned's going to be...
I like The Producers, and I like Blazing Saddles. I think the rest of his stuff... Oh, and Young Frankenstein is amazing. Those three. The rest of his stuff is quite weak.
No, I'll give you Blazing Saddles. We're Castle. That was good.
I think Spaceballs is complete fucking trash.
It's hard to watch.
Oh, Ozone doesn't see this episode. Oh.
It's SNL level humor. Like it's fine.
No, it's 8. It's just silly. Like it's not clever. Yeah, yeah. It's just silly. Sorry, no. Ozone. I feel bad.
No, I agree.
I would have to give it a 1. It was one of those ones I really had trouble finishing, and only finished because I told Ozone I would.
Here's one for you. I don't know if either of you got this on your ratings, but people talk to me about this for an obvious reason that you'll hear as soon as I mention it. Braveheart.
I haven't seen it.
I saw it once when it came out, and I think it's an effective film, but I think it's a very poor quality effect. Like even I was quite, I don't know what age, I was like in my 20s, I guess, when that came out, and I was like, that's silly. That is silly.
I mean, it's
Rob Roy, I think Rob Roy's a better film. Neither of them are good, but I think Rob Roy's
better.
I've
only seen that once, yeah. But, I mean, it's not very accurate. It's not very accurate.
You've got an Irishman playing Scotsman, instead of an Australian.
Playing Scotsman, yeah. No, I just wonder if...
There's a particular duel in Rob Roy where it's... I can't remember his name, but he's playing, like, the effeminate, effete English, like, dandy, fighting against this big, like, big Rob Roy with, like, a big fucking massive sword and the little effete... Yeah, Claymore, thank you. And the little effete English dude's coming like with a little rapier, but he's just like dancing around him, riddling him with holes. And that is one of the, I think, one of the best sword fights on film. The film itself is not amazing, but that sword fight is really, really good. Like you just feel that he's exhausted swinging this big heavy thing around.
How heavy do you reckon Claymores are? Are they actually that heavy?
I don't think it's a
claymore. It's a two-handed broadsword, longsword.
I think the sword he's using, I don't think it's a claymore. It's a heavy one-handed sword. It's a big, heavy one-handed sword.
Is it a broadsword then instead of a longsword?
No, I think it's one-sided. Things like, you know, a cavalry origins sword. I can't remember. But it's, watch the sword fight out of Rob Roy. It's really good.
I've got a couple of films to watch now. I wasn't in the mood the other night, but I've got, I've got They Will Kill You to watch, which is quite a recent one. But I think, unfortunately, I think the trailer tells the whole fucking story, and I didn't realise until I watched it. So don't watch the trailer. I've not watched the film yet, but don't watch the trailer because I think it tells the whole story.
There we go.
And A House of Dynamite is what you just told me about. I've got that to watch as well now. But it's flown in from the high seas.
That's classic. That's classic thumbnail. I love it. That just reminded me of the bit where he uses the gun with the other person's hand attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there's loads of good stuff in the first one. There's loads of it. Yeah. Oh, no, is that the second one?
No, those are sales from the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just what's interesting is that the picture with the thumbs up, that's him doing the gun. It was a very easy just little clone edit there. Just
yes. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. So you just reminded me of the bit in the second one where the dude who had a gun to his head in the hospital in the first one is in therapy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
I love
that because
it was very obvious. But
there's two kinds of humor. There's humor where it fulfills your expectations. There's humor where it subverts your expectations. And for that one, like that series of events, I was not expecting him to just get shot in the head by his friend. And then his therapist, who's trying to, for some reason, is getting off on him describing how he's going to fuck the world. Then
yeah, she's
and then just vomits. It's the oddest scene, and I kind of love it for there's no scene like that in any other film.
And they've got the camera facing up in from the bin as well. Yeah. So it's just like, all right.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely filthy.
I can't give it more than a 3.
I understand. It's one of those where I disagree, obviously, but I like your position is, I think, completely valid. Absolutely. Like, yeah. It's not a disagreement.
It's just like, and yeah, it's just, yeah. I mean, the first one definitely rewatched generally better than I was expecting. I did not expect it to be in any way like interesting or.
I think they're more interesting films than people who haven't watched them think they are.
Yeah, I go with that. Like I say, the things with the little projected, instead of split screen like the 70s and 80s, you got this projected on the wall thing, which has been done before, but it was still, it was unexpected in this film. You know?
It's clever dumb. They're dumb in a clever way. And that's something that I tend to like.
Okay.
It's not trying to be highbrow. It's not trying to, it's rejecting bourgeois sensibilities and making something that is far more obvious.
You say that about everything's this rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I'm pretty happy with that thumbnail. I can't spend too long, otherwise they just get progressively worse.
That's great. No, that's great.
No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff, me, but with big arms.
Well, that's what, this will make sense when they see the thumbnail. Or have you shown the thumbnail on the video?
But the thumbnail's on the video.
It'll be on the video, so it won't really matter.
Cool. All right, shall we...
Ta-da! So next time, maximum overdrive.
Maximum overdrive. All right, cool. All right, can I da-na again? Da-na!